Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're tuned in to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Concerns are growing amongst the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group and supporters as they suspect the fate of the property may have been discussed in a closed session ahead of last night's council meeting. The 82-acre property has been in limbo since the passing of the previous owner over 2 years ago, during which the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group has advocated for public interest in preserving the land, rich in biodiversity and opportunities for community use. The agenda item listed in the closed-door portion of the council meeting, which started at 5 p.m. ahead of the public 7 p.m. meeting, reads, quote, advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose and a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board, waterfront property, end quote. The Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group believes there is, quote, a high probability, end quote, that the waterfront property in question is Lemoyne Point Farm. Chris Cannon, a spokesperson for the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, stated in a release, quote, we have no way of knowing if the waterfront acquisition item for council's closed-door meeting is the farm. In case it is, we want council to know about the widespread community support for preserving this precious waterfront property and the various funding sources we have identified, end quote. The Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, concerned that crucial decisions about the farm's future could be made behind closed doors, sent out a message to their supporters and a letter to council and Mayor Patterson on Monday making their case. The letter outlined the passionate community backing for the preservation of Lemoyne Point Farm, citing the stormy winter night earlier this year when community members gathered to share their ideas for the property. Nearly 500 individuals signed up for their email list and over 1,000 social media followers across platforms. The group highlighted potential options for financial support offered by organizations like the Shad Foundation and Lodgepole Arts Alliance, emphasizing the large-scale support for conserving the site and the feasibility of maintaining the property. They also made note that various wealthy individuals that are supportive of initiatives for local sustainable agriculture have expressed interest in contributing for acquisition or ongoing stewardship of the Lemoyne Point Farm. The Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group urged Kingstonians to take action by contacting the mayor and city councilors, urging them to consider public sentiment in this decision. They stated in a Facebook post, quote, it will be very helpful for council members to hear from as many Kingstonians as possible that the public cares deeply about protecting this land for future generations, end quote. They finished the letter stating, quote, we summarize by saying the city of Kingston has widespread support for acquiring the Lemoyne Point Farm. We stand with you in the commitment that you each made at the time of the election to support the public acquisition and conservation of the farm, end quote. CFRC reached out to the city for comment on the agenda item and the letter, but further information was not disclosed due to the closed nature of the meeting. The documentary film Wilfred Buck is coming to the screening room tonight at 6 p.m. and will feature a Q&A with director Lisa Jackson after the screening. Adapted from Buck's memoir entitled I Have Lived Four Lives, the documentary film explores the journey of Cree elder, Indigenous astronomy expert, and educator Wilfred Buck. The documentary has been screened globally at various festivals and was named a top 5 audience favorite at Hot Docs Canadian International Documentary Festival. The screening tonight in Kingston is in partnership with the Arthur B. MacDonald Canadian Astroparticle Physics Research Institute at Queen's University. I sat down with director Lisa Jackson to chat about bringing Wilfred Buck to Kingston. Start us off, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, my name is Lisa Jackson. I'm a filmmaker, director, producer, living in Toronto. And my background is that my mother was from Omgenong, which is near Sarnia, Ontario, Anishinaabe, and my father is mixed settler from Ontario as well.
Awesome, yeah, thank you. And just sort of as a general preview, I was wondering if you could give folks sort of the down low on what they can expect if they come to the screening room next Wednesday.
Well, Wilfred Buck, the man, is really an incredible person, and I was so privileged to make a feature film about his life. And the film basically is called a hybrid documentary because I follow his work today as an Indigenous star knowledge expert. But as well, I created scenes of his life growing up. And those are based on an incredible memoir he's written called I Have Lived Four Lives. And so the story of Wilfred Buck's life is extremely dramatic, harrowing, exciting, funny. And when I read his life story, I had to bring it to the screen. So what people will see is a film that I think is ultimately hopeful. And that takes you into the life of someone who has made a huge impact, bringing Indigenous science to communities and helping people heal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you're saying, his life and legacy in itself is inspiring and fascinating and makes you want to make a movie about it. But what made you go, okay, this has to be on the big screen?
You know, what made me think that this has to be on the big screen was reading his autobiography. It has these stories that just leapt off the page. And I would say even the way he wrote it, the sort of voice that he used, his writing style, made me feel like I was reading one of the beat poets. Like it's so like rhythmic and funny and just it's like a wild adventure. It's just this wild ride. And so what made me feel like it had to go to the big screen was that I could see these stories from his life just playing out like a feature film almost. And so that's exactly what we did, is that we hired actors and set dressers, and we recreated these moments from Wilfred's life, starting when he was a kid up in northern Manitoba, to a period of time where he was, addicted and homeless and going through all these things, and then finding his way back to his culture and ceremony, and his Cree community. And so that's why I wanted to put it on the big screen. And I have to say, as a personality, I just still like people can't get enough, and I'm the same. I just find what he has to teach is so profound, but also he's so charismatic and funny and warm that it's worth spending an hour and a half with him on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And after you sort of decided, okay, I'm going to make this film, what was sort of the process to get us here where it's, being premiered and you're basically on tour with it?
Well, I say about this film, I was shaping the film and the film was shaping me. And so it did take a few years, and I felt like it really required me to immerse myself, not just in all the facts of Wilfred's life, but also about these really profound teachings that he has about the stars, and about traditional knowledge. And a lot of that knowledge, people may know, was driven underground by colonization. And in fact, a lot of ceremonies were outlawed, a lot of cultural practices were outlawed from the late 1800s until the mid, 1900s, 1951. And so there's been a reclamation that's been going on, which really got going in the 1970s, but has built and built. And Wilfred's a big part of that. And so I think that being able to spend that time with Wilfred and with the teachings that he's one part of bringing back to Canada has really been a great privilege. And basically, I wanted to do right by it, and I really hope I did. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned his teachings there. I was wondering if you could get a bit into, that Indigenous knowledge of stars and astronomy. And also, this is in partnership with Queen's University, so I think we all have a lot to learn.
Yeah. Wilfred will say about the stars specifically, he'll say, growing up, I never sort of thought about that anyone else looked up at the night sky, because all we hear about are the Romans and the Greeks and those stories and those names for the constellations. But part of what Wilfred brings specifically around the star knowledge is that every culture on the face of the earth looked up at the night sky, and every culture on the earth made stories to do with the night sky, but also knew how to read the night sky. And so some of the teachings that he shares, and we put a certain amount of them in the film, there's a lot more, of course, where they came from, but they are about how do we have knowledge in the night sky about how to navigate. There's stories about the way that moose kind of move around when you're hunting them, and those stories are put into the stars. There's stories about like the moose spirit and the way that it moves, but it tells you something about the way moose behave, on Earth. But as well, there are really profound stories that I think are deep wisdom about how we live our lives. And some of those stories just tell us about, my favorite is the Sturgeon star constellation. And I can't tell it as well as Wilfred, but it really talks about the importance of our responsibility over like seven generations, essentially, and how if we want to create a family and ancestors, if we want to be good future ancestors, then it matters how we behave right now. And so I think that from navigation to knowing about the natural cycles of the world around us, spring, summer, fall, winter, how do you live in harmony with the land, and to how we live together in harmony with each other as good people, all that stuff was kind of written in the stars. But I would say even beyond that, one of the things that I came to realize with Wilfred is that a lot of times indigenous cultures, different cultures, they're talking about the same thing as Western science. They're just using a different lens or terminology. And so I think one of the things this film is highlighting and asking people to consider is if we could open our minds a little bit more, because a Western scientific perspective is sort of the mainstream, quote unquote, mainstream. But sometimes we don't know how to listen to knowledge that comes in different forms, like stories. And I think one of the really profound, thought-provoking pieces that Wilfred brings to us is asking us to open up our minds a little bit and to look at the different forms that knowledge comes in. And I think when we do that, it allows us to see there's a lot of connections between different perspectives, whether that's Western science, and indigenous knowledge, or any ways of looking at the world. And I think when we do that, it brings us together, and it creates community rather than division, that's always important.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if people weren't already inspired to go see this film, I'm sure they are now. It's been premiered at a few festivals so far, and it won top five audience award at Hot Docs Canadian International Documentary Festival. How has the audience reception been so far? How's it felt to, get this kind of recognition?
It's been very profound to see people's reaction to the film. We first premiered it in Copenhagen, and I really wondered, what will some European folks think about this story about a man from Opaskwayak Cree Nation in northern Manitoba who's been through a very specific experience, including the 60s scoop and other sort of colonial impacts that are very North American. And people were really profoundly moved. And I saw the universality of the messages that Wilfred has. And I think that people are also swept along. Like, many people are very moved and they walk away very hopeful. And that's, I really wanted that, that there could be something that could really inspire us and make us look to values that can help us in our lives. And so, it's been really, I keep saying, I'm very moved at how moved people are and that it's making people really think. A lot of people have said there's a few things in the film that I honestly, truly, I still think about that I think are kind of nuggets of wisdom from these elders, not just Wilfred, but there's an elder named Leroy Little Bear as well, who's Blackfoot from Alberta. And a couple of the things that they share, people really, it kind of opens their mind in new ways. And they go, oh, I just can't stop thinking about that. It's really made me look at the world in a different way. So I think it both moves people emotionally and it also makes them, think about the big picture. And that's amazing. Like, what more could you want as a filmmaker, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And how are you feeling, coming to Kingston next week and also being able to do this in partnership with Queen's?
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to do it with Queen's Astronomy and to come to Kingston. I've been to Kingston a handful of times, and it's always been incredible to share my work there. I've done some work with Queen's students. My father, my eldest brother actually went to Queen's for engineering. And so even though I'm not that connected personally, I do have a soft spot for Queen's. But in particular, I feel like even though I'm a little bit outside the astronomy world, there's someone who shows up. She doesn't say anything, but she is a good friend of Wilfred. She's an astrophysicist named Kim Venn from the University of Victoria. And I've been able to spend with Wilfred a lot of time with Kim. And she's led me to understand that, astronomy is, in its kind of own bubble, but there is this growing awareness of other perspectives of astronomy that are out there. And so I think that the opportunity to share it with Queen's astronomy, and to maybe open up conversations. That's what I really hope the film will do, to be honest, is I think that it can provoke us to like say, oh, like, can we have some more cross-cultural conversations? And maybe it can be challenging as a scientist or an astronomer to think about astronomy and the ways that other cultures bring it forward. But I think that's a really important and fruitful conversation to start. And I think a lot of people are ready to kind of say, okay, let's start cross-cultural dialogues where Western science can especially connect with Indigenous folks who've lived on these lands for thousands of years. And the knowledge base there is so rich and deep. And can we start to talk about how Western science and that knowledge can, you know, share with each other and start to put some differing perspectives together?
There will also be a second showing of the documentary on Friday at 4 p.m. in celebration of National Indigenous Peoples Day, and additionally on Wednesday, June 26th at 6 p.m. More information is available at screeningroomkingston.com. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks so much, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for the week. Running from now until June 22nd at the Union Gallery are two new exhibitions. In the main space is Home Sweet Home, 16 acts of sustainable storytelling from 16 local youth artists, curated by Ray Parsons in collaboration with Youth Imagine the Future. In the project room, Elusive Sight by Elizabeth Hunt will be presented, engaging with the land use in her Chemical Valley hometown in Sarnia. This exhibition includes an ant farm, video projections, silver halide photographs, and live atmospheric data consolidated into a visual spreadsheet. The Union Gallery is located on the first floor of Stauffer Library and is open Tuesday through Saturday. Visit uniongallery.queensu.ca for more information. Registration for summer term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, and Pride programming kicks in all June. Every Saturday in June, you can drop by for button making or making paper drag queens and kings for all ages, or catch Pride Sunday events with Drag Queen Storytime, Drag Character Workshop, and the Don't Be a Drag, Be a Queen Artist Talk with Gila Munster. Be sure to check out ksoa.info for more on these and all upcoming events. Join Martha's Table for their Empty Boards Spring Fundraiser on Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. at the Kingston Grand Theater. Enjoy a performance by the Kim Pollard Band, snacks, a live auction, and take home a locally made charcuterie board. Tickets are $75 and you can get yours at 613-530-2050 or at kingstongrand.ca. At the TriArt Gallery, you can catch the art show Red as a part of their ongoing pigment series. Red pigments serve as the primary shade for a variety of pieces from many different participating artists in what is sure to be an interesting and bold thematic showcase. TriArt Gallery is located in downtown Kingston in the back of Art Noise and celebrates the work of local artists working with local TriArt materials, and it is free for you to peruse. This exhibition runs until June 22nd. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square this summer, and the full lineup has now been announced. This summer you can mark your calendars for 10 Things I Hate About You on June 27th, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning on July 11th, Barbie on July 18th, The Italian Job on July 25th, A League of Their Own on August 1st, Beetlejuice on August 8th, Freaky Friday on August 15th, Night at the Museum Battle of the Smithsonian on August 22nd, and Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. Also this week at the Screening Room, be sure to catch the special screenings of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and But I'm a Cheerleader on June 20th. And last but certainly not least, the free grassroots multidisciplinary Skeleton Park Arts Festival hits Kingston every summer solstice weekend, this year running this weekend from June 22nd to 23rd. This year's lineup includes Kobo Town, Status Non-Status, Justin Rutledge, Sada Famini, The Human Rights, Keaton, and many more. SPAF programming is always free, and the full schedule is available now at skeletonparkartsfest.ca, and you can stay tuned to the Kingston Curator this week, Thursday at 2 p.m. for more. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Wednesday, June 19, 2024. Despite a strong Game 4 victory, the Dallas Mavericks were unsuccessful in their comeback attempt against the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. The Mavericks found themselves on the wrong end of an 18-point loss, losing Game 5 by a score of 106-88. For the Boston Celtics, this is their franchise's 18th Larry O'Brien Trophy, setting a new standard of excellence for the NBA. In the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, the Edmonton Oilers have flipped the script on the Florida Panthers and now find themselves down by just one game after trailing in the series 3-0. The Oilers would jump out to an early 1-0 lead as Connor Brown scored just 5 minutes and 30 seconds into the game. They would maintain that lead until early in the second period when they would extend it thanks to a goal from Zach Hyman, his 15th of the playoffs, assisted by Evan Bouchard and Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid would tally his 7th goal of the playoffs to extend Edmonton's lead to 3-0. Matthew Tkachuk would score less than 2 minutes later to make it a 3-1 game, but then Corey Perry, the veteran player, scores his first goal of the playoffs to give Edmonton a 4-1 lead. Evan Rodriguez would score his 7th to make it a 4-2 game heading into the third period. The Panthers drew within 1 as Oliver Ekman-Larsson scored his 2nd of the playoffs, but it would be an empty net goal from Connor McDavid with 20 seconds remaining to put Edmonton ahead for the final 5-3 score. Evan Bouchard's 2 assists set a new high water mark for assists in a playoff run by a defenseman with 26. With his 4 points in the Game 5 victory, Connor McDavid now finds himself with 42 total playoff points, just 5 back of tying the great one, Wayne Gretzky, for the all-time single-season playoff lead. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals will be played on Friday, June 21st in Edmonton. Puck drop is scheduled for 8 p.m. In local sports news, the Kingston Grenadiers are certainly making their 20th season a memorable one. They were on the road last weekend to Scarborough to take on the Scarborough Thunder. The U16 Grenadiers beat the U16 Scarborough Thunder by a score of 28-26, and the U18 team had a convincing 33-15 victory over their Scarborough rivals. Both the U16 and U18 squads will be at home this weekend taking on the Oshawa Hawkeyes at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff for the U16 game is 1 p.m. Kickoff for the U18 game is 4 p.m. This concludes your sports report for Wednesday, June 19th, 2024. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. The heat warning continues as a prolonged heat event continues through Thursday. Dangerously hot and humid conditions are expected. After today's high of 31 degrees, tonight we're expecting partly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and a risk of thunderstorm. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 late this evening, and we have a low of 22. Looking forward to tomorrow, Thursday, June 20th, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a risk of thunderstorm. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour in the afternoon. We have a high of 30, humidex 38, and a UV index of 10 or very high. Thursday night, we're expecting cloudy periods with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 20. Finally, on Friday, temperatures are coming down just a bit with sunny skies and a high of 29. The night will be cloudy with a low of 18. Looking forward to the weekend, we're going down into the mid-20s. That wraps up your weather report for this evening. Stay cool and stay tuned for your traffic report coming up next. Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for, Albert Street Princess to 486 Albert is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction. Baden Street, Mowat to McDonald is closed until July 1st to accommodate construction activity on Baden Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed until September 1st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plastarms to north end of King is closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, the tragically hip way to Plastarms, is closed June 17th to 21st from 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. each day for Queen's University convocation. Market Street, Ontario to King, is closed on June 21st from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. for National Indigenous Peoples Day event at Springer Market Square. Princess Street, Division 2 Ontario, is closed June 22nd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the Princess Street Promenade. Please note that the intersections of Princess at Barrie, Princess at Bagot, and Princess at Ontario will remain open throughout the event. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed until July 31st for the removal of debris from the Queen's JDOC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. The work is planned to conclude in late December 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. Also note that you can expect delays in the following areas due to construction: Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, Hudson Drive at Bay Ridge Public School, Hudson Drive at Hudson Park, and Seabrook Road at Highway 15 and Big Hill. That wraps up your CFRC traffic report for this evening, and next up is your events and concerts calendar with Paige.
Hey, it's Paige, and it's time for CFRC's concert and events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through CFRC.ca today. Wednesday, June 19th, go to Cove Inn for Wings and Tunes on the patio, an open mic event with Sean McCullough and friends from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. The event is free. Also on Wednesday from 6 to 9 p.m., go to Hotel Wolf Island for folk singer-songwriter Jenny Lapp and co. Admission is by donation. On the last Thursday of every month, come over to Hotel Wolf Island for Open Season Thursdays with Chris Brown, Joey Wright, and Jason Mercer. It's a night of declaring open season on anything musical. The event runs from 7 to 9 p.m. and admission is free. Laugh along with Yuck Yuck's Comedy Night with Rob Pugh from MTV Unplugged, Rick Curry, The Hills Brothers, Chris Boris, Simone Holder, and Tavis Maplesden at the Cove Inn. Admission is $90 and the show starts at 7 p.m. Christopher Jackson and friends play Blue Martini this Friday night for a night of covers, originals, and special guests. Admission is free and the show is from 7 to 10 p.m. Also on Friday from 11 to 4 p.m., celebrate Indigenous culture at Springer Market Square. There will be community service fair, vendors, delicious food, and even a rock climbing wall. And a free concert from Second Line Bluegrass starting at 6 p.m. Tiernan Og presents a night of traditional contemporary Irish, Celtic, and Scottish covers from 9 to 12 a.m. The event is free. On Saturday, June 22nd, from 10 to 2 p.m., go to Sydenham Street for daytime activities and entertainers for the whole family. Also on Saturday, experience a night of great rock bands like Echoes, Concepts, and Stunseed at Blue Martini. Cover is $10 and the doors at 9. Join Dead Root Revival at Fernand's Family Farms for fresh food and rustic rock and blues. The event is $30 to attend and runs from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Also on Saturday, for $10, go to the Mansion for Waiting on Wayne with Matt Francis and Mark Off Chain from 9 to 12 a.m. On Saturday, go down to McBurney Park for Skeleton Arts Park Festival 2024, running both Saturday and Sunday. The festival is full of country, folk, reggae, Anishinaabe Canadian, and much more. The event is free. On Sunday, June 23rd, enjoy live blues, classic rock, and folk from Head Over Heels on the patio at the Cove Inn. The performance is free and runs from 5 to 8 p.m. Also on Sunday, add a Latin twist to your afternoon with Mauricio Montesinos at the Creekside from 5 to 7 p.m. The event is free admission. Go to Hotel Wolf Island for dinner and a jazz show. Standards at 7 is playing a dinnertime set from 4 to 7. Admission is by donation. And on Sunday, join the fundraiser event Ceasefire with Adam Davidson Harden and friends as they raise money for UN Crisis Relief and the UNRWA at Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar. The event runs from 8 to 11 p.m. and the admission is by donation.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.